Holy Spirit, we just acknowledge you and welcome you and thank you, Heavenly Father, our Father who art in heaven. Yet, you've made your tabernacle in our human vessels. Thank you, Lord Jesus, our great high priest. Thank you because you are praying for us, even right now, because you ever live to make intercession for us. Thank you for not leaving us as orphans. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank you. And Father, thank you because there's a spirit in every one of us, in our children, in every humankind. It is your inspiration, your breath that gives understanding. I pray, even as our children begin to go to their classes, upon the children and the teachers, and upon every soul in here, breathe afresh. Pour out your spirit as you promised upon all flesh, and give us understanding. Let your word come in its simplicity, yet in its power, to heal, to deliver, to set us free. Because your word never returns to you void. Your word prospers in our lives and accomplishes what you please for your glory. And we thank you. For the blessing is ours. The battle is yours. But yet the glory and all glory goes to you. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to welcome you all. Welcome those online. Thank you for joining us, those who can be in the auditorium. This is the Lord's sheep. That's who we are. We are his sheep. He's our shepherd. And I just want to make two quick announcements before the children go. We have some things lined up, especially the parents need to hear this. For the children, especially during the summer, if you have nowhere to take your children aged 5 to 13 years old, we have a summer sports camp running from tomorrow. Yes, only one person is excited because she's one of the licensed coach. Please, let's celebrate our sister Onome. She will look after all your children and our coach, Coach Kenny. So we will give you more details about that. I don't know if that's been displayed, but it will be announced again. So you can see us before you go and find more about it. And I want to celebrate, we had interviews over the summer. I just believe God just gave us a little inspiration to, in the name of Jesus, let there be light. And there was light. Yeah, you know, during the summer we have our secondary school aged and, you know, older children, young adults. So we also created a summer internship program where we want to give them the opportunity to have experience, work experience, learn to work as a team, work on projects, and see what happens within an organization, especially the church. So we had about 15 applications from all our young people from, I think the youngest age was 11. And what was the maximum age, Coach Kenny? 19. No, because Coach Kenny, what's your age? Sorry, yes, I won't expose you. I used to be ashamed of my age when I was your age. Anyway, we had 15 applications and we had 10 successful young people after going through a rigorous, I mean rigorous interview, stage one, stage two, and we are happy that we have 10 of them employed. They will be taken through. Yes, let's celebrate them. But I want us to celebrate those other 5 that did not scale through the interview, because they all did well. Honestly, I was on some of the panels that interviewed them, and I had to excuse myself as a pastor, so sentiments don't enter. But I'm telling you, all of them and all of you that applied for the summer interns, You are stars. You are wonderful. You all did very well. It's just that the world out there is very competitive. And we have also, I've told the team that everyone that applied, we are going to employ some. And those who didn't make it, we'll give you the opportunity to be employed as volunteers. Albeit, you may not get paid, but we will compensate you one way or the other. So please let's celebrate all the 15 young people that did the interview. You all skilled too. So everybody will have something one way or the other. And our first work day was today. And we told them, anybody who doesn't show up by 10 a.m. is going to be fired on the first day of work. So some of them showed up. Some of them gave excuses. We will see them after the service. I told them, when you see me here, I'm a pastor. When you see me there, I am a coach. No sentiments. So I think we had, how many showed up today, Esther? Showed up on time. And some people showed up 1 minute past, 2 minutes past. So we're going to calculate their wages and deduct 1 minute out of their wages. Yes. 8 of them showed up today. 8 out of 10. 80%. Okay, it is well. All right, please, all the children age from 3 to 6. I'm always 3 to 5. We have a bespoke service for you. And age from 7 to 6 to 10, we have a bespoke service for you. And then please, those in the 11 to 16 category, most of them are the ones that we employed. Some of them, that age range, are the ones employed. So they will be taking some pictures during the services. So please, the children teachers allow them, but they won't take the faces of the children. So if you see them coming and just snap a picture, because they've resumed work today, they will take some pictures. Please let's celebrate all these wonderful children as they go from the rising of the sun. And if today is your first time, you're welcome. You have a young child, I guarantee you they will be well looked after. So if your child is between 3 to 6 or 3 to 5, you may want to accompany them, sign them in, and bring them, and you can join us in the service. They're just going around the corner to the halls and rooms prepared for them. From the rising
of the sun,
to the setting,
to the setting of the same.
Your name
is to be hallowed.
Oh, sing it with me one more time. From the rising, I can't hear you. All right, let the Lord hear you. To the setting of the same, your name
is to be hallowed
and all right. Adonai, oh, sing Adonai. Father, I thank you as I hear, I speak. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for inspiring me. And I pray you teach every heart as you hover upon every heart. Turn every heart into a good ground, ready to receive your word. And Father, thank you for sending your word. May we all hear the voice of your word. May we hear the instruction that will set us free. The instruction that will give us life. And Lord, I pray, give every one of us the grace to do what you instruct us to do. So that, Lord, we will be healed and we will be delivered to the glory and praise of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Please, I know our brother who led us in prayer has told us to tell someone, I think you said, watch out. So please, just greet someone to your right, to your left. Please just welcome them. Yeah, welcome them. I can see some very lovely. Make everybody around you welcome. Make them very welcome. All right, introduce yourself. You know, if they don't know you, tell them I am so and so. I can bless you with money right now. And thank you, Lord Jesus. I am so glad again today we've come to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Bible says God has made all of us kings and priests. But then I'm excited when there's a literal, physical king in our midst today. Please, I want us to celebrate and welcome again. I look to my right and I just said, wow. First of all, Her Royal Highness Dame Gift Roman. Yes. And Your Royal Highness Mark Roman of the kingdom. I've forgotten the name of the kingdom. Amen. You know the last, Akenema. Okay. I hope I got it right. Yeah. You know, please, there's a king in our midst today. Physical, literal king. And, you know, Ezekiel said the last time he was around, you better greet him well because he will give you land. I've already secured my own land in that kingdom. So we'll just come over to start building. Okay. And thank you, Dame Gift Roman is also an ordained minister of God in the Redeemed Christian Church of God under this mission. So she's a woman of God. And thank you because we can see the fruit of your labor. I've had the honor to meet all your children. Wonderful, wonderful children. And thank you for, you know, giving us, especially our administrator. I can't always forget the first time you brought her as a 17-year-old many years ago. Many, many years ago. And that time, Franklin had not seen vision. He was still praying and fasting. And, you know, Esther has really been a star. I want to say that. And Esther, thank you. I want to appreciate you. You may not be appreciated often. She came in then, and as a student, undergraduate student, came and said, please, what can I do in the church? I want to volunteer. And she started helping us with our admin. Really, really helped our executive administrator in Kemamaka then. And she did her master's, then she came back, and then she went, and then she came back, and then she went and came back. And then she brought Franklin, and then Franklin is Franklin. Amen. I want to talk to us today, and Holy Spirit help me. Download and carry out full instructions. That if you want to give it a topic. And of course, I want to believe I'm speaking by the Spirit of God. I'm excited today. Dara, is that Okay, I want to also celebrate today because I recognize somebody. He was my senior in secondary school many years ago. Many, many years ago. In my school, secondary school, then Government College Ibadan in Nigeria, we call our seniors my tio, which means my teacher. So I want to celebrate my tio. That's the father of Dara. Yes, I recognized you when I saw you, sir. I told my wife, I'm not coming to greet you, I will greet you from here. Well, I don't think our paths really crossed and he didn't punish me. If he had punished me then, I would have declared prayer and fasting today. You are very welcome, sir. Very welcome. I hope you play football with us tomorrow. Yes, sir. Yeah, Dara, bring my tail tomorrow. We must play football together. Yeah. I think you were classmates with Dakwa Olasokwe. Yes, I remember you, sir. Remember, that's my tear. Please celebrate my tear again. Come on. Yeah. Yes. Amen. Okay. Download and what? Please, talk back to me. Download and carry out full instructions. And then the subtitle will be, be a donkey, not a horse or a mule. Be a donkey, not a horse and a mule. And that's not an insult. Please tell somebody, be a donkey. See, people are scared. Please, AY, don't tell the king to be a donkey. Okay, just no land for you if you try that. You can tell your wife to be a donkey, you know. All right, Psalm number 32. You know, we've been following a theme about instructions, receiving specific instructions from God. Please note the word specific. Now, in Psalm 32 and verse 8, the Bible declares there, and I read, I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go, and I will guide you with my eye. That is verse 8. Prior to verse 8 of Psalm 32, you will see the psalmist acknowledging his sin. You will see the psalmist asking for forgiveness. And then it was like a conversation when you read the Psalm 32. And then God now speaks and says, I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way which you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. That was an instruction, a word from the Lord. But then verse 9 now says, don't be like a horse or a mule without understanding. One version says, which must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near you. One version says, don't be a horse, right? Don't be a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with bit and bridle, or it will not stay near you. One other version says, this is the New English Translation, don't be like an unintelligent horse or mule, which will not obey you unless they are controlled by a bridle and bit. Verse 8, I will instruct you. Verse 9, don't be a horse. Now, if you're wondering, what is the difference between a horse and why we're saying be a donkey? Now, I went to check. Google is your friend. Yeah, Google it. Please tell somebody, Google it. Oh, wow. God bless Google. But don't always believe everything you Google. Right? Just believe the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, I went to Google and I checked what's the difference between a donkey, a horse, and a mule. Many differences. A donkey is usually slower, and a donkey has, longer ears. And a horse is usually bigger, stronger, and faster. Then if you want to understand what is a mule? Please, what's the title again? Be a donkey, not a horse, or a mule. That's the subtitle. We want to download and carry out full instructions, but be a donkey, not a horse, or a mule. So what's a mule? A mule is actually a cross. And what do I mean by a cross? When a donkey, maybe a horse, a male horse, and a female donkey, when they mate together. Even if the children are here, you'll be surprised what they know. When they have intercourse, they produce a hybrid. Is it a hybrid it's called? Called a mule. Normally, donkeys should mate with donkeys. Horses should mate with horses. But when they decide, when it happens, okay, what they produce is a mule. And do you know one thing about a mule? A mule is sterile. A mule is unproductive. Mules cannot reproduce. So that is an anomaly for a donkey to mate with a horse, because what they will produce will be unproductive. So don't be a mule. Please tell somebody, don't be a mule. Don't be a horse, and I will explain why you shouldn't be a horse shortly. But be like, okay, let's put it this way, be like a donkey. Because I think some people are offended if I say be a donkey. Please tell them, be like a donkey. Yeah. Apostle, I like your collar. Yes, sir. Be like a donkey. Okay, why a donkey? Why should we be like a donkey? Some of us will remember the story, very interesting story, of Jesus. Okay, I'll run the commentary. God help us with time today. Is that the time I have left? Okay, no, not the time I have left, but the actual time, okay? Now, you remember when Jesus wanted to ride into Jerusalem. How many of us remember that story? Or if you've never read it before, I'll tell you where you can find it. Go and read the story, right? The first account is in Matthew and chapter 21, okay? Hold that at the back of your mind. Be like a donkey, not a horse, not a mule. A mule is unproductive. And, you know, that's when you have the hybrid between, you know, mating between horse and donkey. It's an anomaly. It's just the same anomaly that dies it. When a sheep mates with a goat. You know, the Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd. And shepherds sheep. But then, in the olden days, shepherds also shepherd goats. But they have challenges with goats. Because the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and they follow. But goats, they hear nothing. They do nothing. They do what they want to do, when they want to do it, how they want to do it. And Jesus, in a metaphor, refers to my sheep his disciples as my sheep. And then refers to those that he will cast, that will be cast out into everlasting condemnation as goats. That the shepherds both goats and sheep. And then on the last day, he starts separating the sheep from the goat. Listen, if you are a sheep, what are you doing with a goat? Some people will get that, some people won't. What fellowship does light have with darkness? What fellowship does a child of God has with someone who is completely opposed to God, who doesn't believe your God, who doesn't share your Christian values, Christ-like values, and you are hanging around them? You will produce a hybrid that will be like a mule and unproductive. Please, I'm saying it, okay, let me put it in plain English. Listen, you are a believer. Stop hanging out with unbelievers in the context of you want to enter into a marriage, long-term relationship. It will end up a way that seems right, but ends up in destruction. So I've said that in plain English. That's a word for someone. And God bless all the testimonies that's been coming up, the prayers. We've been praying 24/7. Testimonies are abounding, healings. To God be the glory. Some people came out last Sunday. They were healed instantly. To God be all the glory. We give God all the glory. Please expect to be healed as this word is coming forth. Even if hands are not laid on you. You know, there are places in the Bible where you see Jesus will just speak. Send the word only. The Bible says, send forth his word, and his word heal them and deliver them from destruction. So please, be ready. Watch out and listen out for the voice of the Lord today. So, let's go back to Jesus. When he wanted to ride into Jerusalem, we see the story in Matthew chapter 21 from verse 1 to 11. We see the same account in Mark chapter 11 from verse 1 to 11. We see the same account in Luke chapter 19 from verse 28 to 31. And we see the same account in John chapter 12 from verse 12 to 13. So all the four Gospels in the Bible captures that story of Jesus riding into Jerusalem. Now, let's read the Matthew's account briefly. So let's go to Matthew and chapter 21. And I read from verse 1. Let's use that as our benchmark. And please note all the four Gospels tell us this story. And I will tell us what we mean by download full instructions. So in Matthew 21, the Bible says, I'm reading here, and when they drew near to Jerusalem, they were come to Bethphage and to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus sent two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you. Straight away you'll find an ass. The King James called it an ass. Other versions, an ass is a donkey. Okay, so you'll find a donkey that is tied, and there is a colt beside it. The colt is just a young male donkey. I think it's usually between, anyway, don't let me go that. We're not doing animal science today. Let's focus on the word. So there's a donkey, and there's a little donkey tied beside a donkey. Okay, so that is just what that means. And it says, loose that donkey, loose the two of them, and bring them to me. If any man say to you, you shall say the Lord has need of them, and straight away he will send them. And the Bible said this was done, that it might be fulfilled, that which was spoken earlier by a prophet saying, tell the daughter of Zion. Let's leave that for now. So let's focus on Jesus wants to ride into Jerusalem. And listen, people, in Jerusalem, there are mules. In Jerusalem, there are donkeys. In Jerusalem, there are horses. So Jesus could have chosen any one of them. And Jesus could have also, what else can you ride? Apart from a horse, a donkey, and a mule. A camel, thank you. In Jerusalem, there were camels. So why did Jesus choose a donkey? Have you ever thought of it? A horse is very fast. Strong. Can carry, any weight. Is anyone here who has ridden on a horse before? Anybody, please wave your hand. Wave it in the air. All right. Okay. Did you ride it or they rode it on your behalf and they were pulling you? The closest I've gone to riding a horse was to give the horse sugar. They said, if you give it sugar, we'll let you ride it. We gave it sugar and I was scared to ride. We were very young then. Why did Jesus choose a donkey? Why did he instruct them to go and choose a donkey? And listen, it was a specific donkey, people. Because there were donkeys in Jerusalem. So if you read the Matthew's account, it gives them a clue to where they will find the donkey. He said the village that is opposite, that's where you should go. He gave instruction. Please listen, we're going somewhere. Go to the village opposite, because there are villages behind, to the side, both sides. So imagine Jesus could have said, okay, you know what? I need a donkey to ride into Jerusalem. Go and get a donkey. And the disciples could use their discretion. And some people who are very business-minded, analytical-minded, Jesus, okay, let's try and figure out, let's do Jesus' BMI so that we can determine what kind of donkey that can fit Jesus. Are you getting me? And Jesus, let me tell us something. Somebody said this, I don't know, it's not proven. But of course, the Jesus some of us have seen in the movies is just Jesus created in the image and likeness of men. If you want to really know Jesus, read the word. Somebody said Jesus was very fit. And I figured out how Jesus must have been fit. If you wake up very early in the morning and you go on top of a mountain to go and pray, that is called exercise. Very early in the morning while you are still snoring, he's gone up mountain praying. At times he will pray all night. One day he shows up in, after he rode into Jerusalem, he shows up in the temple. The guy, sorry Jesus, I called you guy. Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. The Lord Jesus. But then he was a guy, Jesus. Because they knew him then as Jesus of Nazareth. Walks into the temple, full grown men, selling, exchanging money. Some selling doves. Some, what were they doing in the temple? Like some of us are still doing today. Doing business. You've turned the church into a business center. They were exchanging money. They were selling doves. What else were they doing again? They were selling oil. Were they selling oil? Whatever. You know that story. And this guy walks in and drives everybody out. Full-grown people. Huh? I'm sure he didn't look like Chris Harry. Imagine Chris Harry, skinny, sorry, I call you skinny, but that guy has got six-pack under. Don't joke with him. In fact, when we're playing football, you can't catch him. Always running. Run. I don't know where he runs to. Just running. Chai. These boys, the boys of nowadays. If someone like him should show up with a scourge, and all of us are here, and he says, my name is JC. It is my father's house. You've turned it into a den of thieves. And he's going to drive all of you out. Please, come on, Ezekiel. Please come. Camera, come. No, come. I just want illustration purpose. Come here, bro. Come here. Where's that your little nephew? God bless him. You know, children are watching. I noticed when you went down and you were bowing and worshiping, he bowed down beside you, worshiping. God bless that young man. You are a worshiper. What's his name? Ashley. How you doing, bro? All right. JC walks in and he looks like this. And he's going to drive Ezekiel out of this room. Sir, I'm sure you won't hug him. Say, oh, come on, bro. This is your father's house, really? Huh? The guy will just grab you like that, yank you. Don't mess with Ezekiel. I've seen him in action before. Remember that time two guys messed up with you? Anyway, let's leave that. All things have passed away. Oh my goodness. Sorry, let's laugh a bit. One of them thought he could mess with him, so he went, and the brother too came. The guy just, anyway, I won't tell you what he did. We don't fight. We only fight the good fight of faith. All right. Jesus, if he looked like that, skinny, he would be challenged. But one man comes and drives everybody out, and nobody fought back. I want to tell you that Jesus had biceps and triceps and probably had six-pack. It was fit. And I figured out how he could be fit. How can somebody working in the carpenter's shed? That is developing the triceps and the biceps. He carries wood. That is, what's that thing you call it? That's dumbbell. And then you want to fight him? Drop everybody out. So they could have done his BMI and decided the kind of horse. They would do analysis. But he said, specific, go to the village opposite. And when you enter, you'll find a donkey. But then, he gave them another clue. Because there were donkeys. Beside that donkey is a young male donkey. Because there were other donkeys, probably, that did not have young male donkey tied, a colt tied beside them. Specific instruction. Donkey opposite, tied beside the donkey, male donkey, because they could have entered that village and found a donkey, and beside the donkey is a mule. If they went for that one, they've not downloaded the full instruction. Now, we may say that is all. I've learned one thing. When God says go, please, as you are going, please be asking. Inquire. Jesus has spent 3 years with his disciples. And every year, it was customary they ate Passover to celebrate and commemorate the time they left Egypt. Many years, hundreds of years before. And he tells them in the third year, let's have Passover. Go and prepare it. And as the disciples went, the Bible said, they came back to him. Where should we prepare the Passover? They didn't just go. They came back to ask for clarity, further instruction. Now, I'm bringing this word because clearly some of us, God has spoken to us, but you are operating on incomplete instruction. How many of us buy an equipment and then you just look at it, you just read the first page? Yeah, I know how to operate this thing, and then you close it. That's the way some of us are operating our lives, with incomplete instruction and carrying out incomplete obedience. Let me tell you this. Incomplete obedience is equal to... incomplete instruction is equal to incomplete disobedience. What I wanted to say is incomplete obedience is equal to disobedience. I remember many years ago, when we were praying, planting Love Assembly in Liverpool, officially 18, 19 years now ago. And, of course, we were meeting in our house. 1 year, 9 months, we met in our house. And then we said we are not stepping out of our house until God tells us to go out and look for a public venue. And then God spoke to us clearly, get a public venue. And then we began to drive around the city of Liverpool. I called someone, please, we are looking for a venue for church. We drove and drove and drove all night, all day, caught nothing. And then it dawned on me. We didn't ask God, where should we have the church venue planted in the city of Liverpool? I went back to God in prayer, repented, and asked the Lord to speak to us. You've told us to go out of the house. You've told us to start meeting publicly. Where should we go? Where? I mean, thank God I have a witness here. It's Lamide. I saw your husband, Lamide, here, okay? Lamide was in the, she's been in the house with us. She's seen every journey of this church. So if I'm lying, you can ask her. So God told us, and then we prayed. And I remember in the middle of the night, God showed me a vision. I saw a woman standing in front of a building, and the building was like a restaurant, incomplete. I mean, a restaurant, and I was talking to the woman in the vision, and I was saying, you know, can you remember when Jesus wanted to eat the Passover? And he told his disciples to go enter a village. They would see a man carrying a pitcher, enter the house, tell the owner of the house, I want to eat Passover here. I said, so is the Lord saying to you, woman, that he wants to use this, your property, for his church in Liverpool? And I came out of that vision. But I remembered at the end of the vision, I was telling the woman, we don't want this place for free. So how much are you going to charge us? But we didn't finish the negotiation, and I came back to life. That same week, I was just going to pick my wife down the, you know, the docks. She used to work in, you know, an office in the docks then. And as I was going, clearly I had the Holy Spirit just told me to just go stop in this shop, a woman I used to know, that go inside there and tell her the, you know, just ask about her husband. And I went in and asked about her husband. Oh, her husband has traveled, blah, blah. I said, oh, why? He's always traveling all over the world. And as I was going out, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me again. Oh, Lord, I'm telling you, God can speak to you if only you listen out for his voice. How? Usually through our conscience, through your thoughts, through the leading. The Bible says the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. You have a sense of peace. Please, if you don't have that inner sense of peace, don't proceed. Some of us just proceed anyway. Anyway, as I was going out, go and tell her the dream you had. And I went back and told her the dream. And her eyes were just opening like this. She said, Pastor, praise God. I just bought this property. Nobody knows. She gets a key, takes me around and said, this property, I was going to open it as a restaurant. And God told me, don't open it. There's a church that needs it. She said, Pastor, take the key. Smithdown Road. Fountain Cafe, used to be called. I said, are you? She said, no, Pastor. Nothing, no, take it. So I called all the church members of Love Assembly then. We were seven. All the church members we had acquired in 1 year, 9 months of ministering powerfully. The church grew 1 year, 9 months, from 4 to 7. Somebody praise God. Some of you want to start big. Call the whole of Liverpool. Call the mayor to cut ribbon. We are doing this. We are launching. Start little. Even Jesus started little. Came as a baby. You see, let me use King Mark here as an example. King Mark, in his DNA, right? He was not born into the kingdom he was born in. He was born a baby. He grew up and is now a king. He started little. We want to start big. Anyway, cut a long story short. I told the woman, no, she said, no, Pastor, I've heard God and that's it. No, please. How much do we pay you? No, Pastor, don't tell me about payment. So I called all the church. So we started meeting in the place. We had the first Sunday service. That Sunday, it was a Wednesday. The Sunday, we called everybody. The church grew miraculously, first Sunday service, from 7 to 13. Lamide was there. The first service, 2005? I've even forgotten, 2004, January 20-something, right? But then we started services, and we even started having two services at a point. And I kept going to this woman, please, how much do we pay? We don't want this place. No, Pastor, God told me to give it to a church. Please, we don't want to use it. We are using electricity, we are using your water, we are using gas. Let's pay you something. No, God told me to give it to a church. Anyway, we were there from January, and in May, I don't know what God told her, but they kicked us out of the venue. We were using it for free. In the vision, I was negotiating with her, with the woman I saw, So, and I went back to God. God, they've kicked us out. Are you telling us you didn't send us to Liverpool? And God spoke. I'm the one who opens the door. And I'm also the one who shuts the door. Yeah, I shut the door. So, pack everything and leave the place. But Lord, we don't know where to go. Leave the place. So I had that again. So I called the whole church again. At least we had grown a little bit. We are doing some little outreach. I'm sure Lamide will remember one overnight service we did there, praise night, and we ate. The community came. It was a worship night on Smithan Road. We had a lovely time, two services, one in the morning, one in the evening. So if Lamide didn't attend the one in the morning, she would come in the evening. True or false? I remember your work schedule then. I remember your uniform you used to wear. That guy beside you wasn't there then. Just walked into the church one day and saw a fine girl and married her. Look at his face. God bless you, AY. You know? So, I went to God and God said, move. Lord, where to? We were praying. If Lamide will remember, the following Sunday, it was between one Sunday to the other. Gave her the key. I remember the husband told me, you are very stupid. We are even trying to see how we can still accommodate you there. Because another church came and they wanted to swallow us. But, you know, thank God for all this. I'm just saying this to encourage somebody. If God gives you an instruction, please wait and keep inquiring for complete instruction. Lord, where do we go? We ended up back in one living room somewhere in Anfield. We used it for the Sunday after that. It was so painful. It was so disheartening. God, are you closing down this church? Did you not send us? No, so he sent us. So where do we go? The place we didn't want to go was where God sent us to. Nigeria House. Anyway, those writing the story, they write the story, we all read the story. Don't let me bore you with that story. But we've been moving since then. And by the grace of God, God has given us a home down the corner, right there. After wandering in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 years. All right. So if you think that was all the instruction, you didn't get it. You need the full instruction, go to the account in Mark. The same account of that story. Matthew tells us, village opposite, not the village behind, look for a donkey with a colt tied beside. You will think that's the full instruction until you go to Mark. In Mark, if you read the story, Mark chapter 11, verse 1 to 3, 4 to 11, I won't bore you and read it because of time. Another little proviso. Is it proviso or proviso? Any lawyer in the house? How do you pronounce that word? He said, you will see donkey opposite, colt tied, on which no man has ever sat. That wasn't in the Matthew's account. Somebody say, download full instruction. Because in that Jerusalem, there could be a donkey, a colt tied, but man, some people have sampled that colt. They've written on it. Jesus was specific. No man has sat on it. No man. And if you read Mark again, he said, it is tied by the door outside where two roads meet. More instruction, more details. If you ended up with the story in Matthew, you would think, yeah, we found the donkey. Glory be to God. This is it. Some of us have seen donkey, we've seen the colt, but we didn't know that the one where two roads meet and the one that no man has ever sat. Somebody is searching, you are seeking, you want the Lord to use you. God is very detailed. There are things he will require of you. I remembered, I began to sense a calling of God on my life. I knew clearly, but I remembered I kept praying, Lord, don't ever let me be on a pulpit if you have never finished with me. I am not attention seeking. I'm not seeking for followership. I'm not seeking for position. I'm not seeking for title. I just want to worship you. I just want to serve you. But Lord, if you have not finished with me, this me that I'm seeing, my goodness, you need to see what I was like. I got saved at the age of 18. And I know I backslided almost immediately. Then 2 years of in the wilderness, you know, I've shared some of my story. And then I got back to the Lord. I didn't know I needed to grow after I gave my life to Jesus. So I was just going back to my old ways. But God required devotion. God required that I grow. The Bible says, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And then, you know what? Don't end up as a babe. Grow into maturity. And it's the word of God that keeps transforming, renewing, changing us to become Christ-like. Listen, if all your testimonies, I've been saved for 40 years. Don't tell me anything. I know the whole of the Bible. You're a babe. It's not about the age. It's about the stage of your consecration. Your consecration with God. God, I don't want to be on any pulpit. And I'm telling you, I know how God dealt with me, and I know mistakes I've made. I know the things I've done, gone where God didn't send me, and I know it's burnt my hands. I know I've followed instructions, but albeit not fully. Now, let's go to further instruction. If you now go to Luke account of the same story, remember, opposite village, donkey, colt tied. No man has ever sat when we get to Mark. By the door, where two roads meet at a junction. More details. But then if you end with Mark, you've not got full instructions yet. So if you go to Luke, when you go to Luke, you now see a more details. Because in the Luke account, in Luke chapter 19, verse 20 to 31, in verse 31, is now told them, if any man should ask you, which means the particular one you are looking for, you are going to be challenged. Some of us will just face a little challenge. Ah, no. God didn't send me. Because if God sent me, I don't need to fight. It will just be easy. There will be no opposition. It's God that gave me this job. And then you just settle down there and you cross your leg and you are careless. You are in a job where there are principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world who don't like you nor like your Jesus. And they don't want to see you. And they are putting things there like they put for Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We dare you to worship God here. And then you say, yeah, because of this opposition, God didn't send me. I was listening to a matured Christian over the week. Said there was some turmoil and persecution over her family and herself in the church where they were. And people started leaving the church. People started leaving. And then it got to her because it got to her family. And she said to me, I was going to leave. But then I sat down and I thought, how did I get here? God sent me here. Went back to God. Is it time to leave? No. If you leave because of persecution, you are a babe. Said, no. We will stay here and we'll pray here. And God will fix this. If you are looking for a perfect church, I wish you all the best. Keep searching. Okay? Keep searching till eternity and Jesus will come back. I will meet you on the road, still wandering by the wayside. And if you keep staying by the wayside, the devourer is waiting for you. Please sit down where God has planted you. Stop looking for a perfect church. Because a church has to do with people, disgruntled, people, dysfunctional. Where are all those people that came to David in the hold? People discontented, broke people. People discouraged. People, some of them, still God is working on their manners, praise God. They don't know how to talk. They will be rude to you. They are ushers, but they don't know how to usher. I'm not talking about anybody, please. I'm just inspiration. Okay? Then they worship him, but they will never obey instruction. Tell them to play on this key. No! The spirit is telling me to play on another key. Which spirit? The spirit of disobedience. That's what it's called. You're in a team. Anytime you won't show up for your team meeting, please be accountable to your leader. No! Nobody can tell me anything. Jesus died for me. No man, no pastor, all these pastors and all these leaders. Excuse me. If you cannot sit down and be under the authority of a human authority, you are a liar. You don't love God and you will never submit to the authority of God. And listen, demons will not listen to you. Sorry, I just like making eye contact. It's not you. Okay? We cast every demon troubling you. You want to cast out devils, but you are not under any authority, the devil will tell you, Paul, I know. Jesus, that's my boss. Paul, human authority, but I know him. He commands authority. Why? Because Paul has put himself under authority. You cannot command authority if you are not under authority. A policeman only stops you, not because of the uniform, but because he's put himself under the authority of his majesty. Go to King Mark's kingdom and say, yeah, you know, King Mark came to our church the other day and all of you, okay, you sit down there, because King Mark is my friend. They will tell you, King Mark, we know. Who are you? Did he give you authority? And then they go and ask him, sir, when somebody came, he met you in Liverpool and is commanding all of us here. He will say, I know you not. Depart from me. If you want to exercise authority, put yourself under authority. The most dangerous man to marry is a man who doesn't have a pastor. I said it. A man who doesn't have a pastor who can tell them, sit down there. Oh, somebody's saying you are saying that because you're a pastor. No. I'm telling you, spiritual authority. Demons recognize authority. A man who will tell you, I don't believe all this pastor. I don't listen. I worship God in my house. I love God with all my heart, soul, body, strength. I don't listen to all this pastor. All of them are fake. All of them. All the pastors. All of them. Except this one here. You know, all of them. Dangerous human being. And vice versa. A woman that has no authority, and you want to marry her, she listens to nobody. Like somebody was asking during the couples, alpha female, alpha and omega. They are the beginning and they are the ending. The conversation must start with them and end with them. The marriage is about them. Since you married me, what have you done for me? All your mates are buying things for their wives. What have you done for me? You don't look after me. You went to play football the other day. You neglected me in the house. Is that why you married me? They are the center of the marriage, the alpha, the omega. Flee from all appearance of evil if you are not married yet. And if you are married, we need to bind and cast some devils. You can consult Ezekiel. He's a very apostle of demonology. I'm serious. I'm not joking. I've seen this man exercise authority. I am not joking. You can laugh all you want. And I'm telling you, in all sincerity, he also came and joined this church many years ago as a young postgraduate student. And I've seen him submit to authority. Please celebrate him and his wife. Seen him submit. Have we fallen out? Many times. But the man still submits to authority. That's why he can cast out devils. Because I have a general overseer over me. I have pastors over me in this mission. Just come from nowhere. Yeah. It's about me. I don't like the song you even sing in this church. Because it's you we worship. That's why I don't like the song. It's you. It's all about you. I don't like it. I don't feel led. You're always feeling. The Bible didn't say we should feel led by the Spirit. It said be led. I don't feel led. Mr. Filler, Mrs. Filler, the Lord rebuke you. Okay, let's end with the John account. Download full instructions. So they challenge them in the Luke's account. Somebody's going to challenge you. And when they challenge you, tell them the Lord, the master, the owner, the maker, has need of this donkey. And they will let it go. Because you can find all this, and then you get somebody, and you tell them the Lord, and say, which Lord? Then that's not the person. Somebody who's not ready to submit under the lordship of Jesus. That's not the donkey I'm looking for. Let's go. And then let's look at John. What's the final detail? The final detail in the book of John shows us that Jesus now sat on that donkey, on the colt. And guess what? The donkey, let me tell us, go and study characteristics of donkeys. A donkey nobody has ever sat on is an untamed donkey. Which means the first time you sit on it, it's going to fling you off. But Jesus sat on that donkey, and the donkey did not protest. But let me now tell you something about the donkey. You know when Jesus sat on the donkey didn't protest. So if you want Jesus to use you, present your bodies every day as a living sacrifice. Instructions will come. They will not be what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Instructions like forgive, love, don't fight. The battle is the Lord's. Hold your peace. I will show us, thank you, Holy Spirit. Usually the instructions we don't like obeying, and we'll pray. But let's look at it. The donkey. So Jesus was riding the donkey. And the donkey didn't protest. And they were going to Jerusalem. Do you know what happened, sir? People were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Glory in the highest heavens, for Jesus the Messiah reigns. Hosanna, Hosanna. And they were throwing their leaves, branches, clothes. And the donkey, Jesus was riding the donkey. Please, be like the donkey. Don't think the leaves and the clothes is for you. When God starts using you. Wow, I must be anointed. See the way men are bowing for me. Throwing clothes. Ha! Ah, wow, only me. It must indeed be my turn. Excuse me? The person that you always take the glory is the one riding you. But excuse me, what is riding you? That's another thing. Because demons can also ride. Especially when you're following complete instruction, you get on the wrong donkey, the wrong spirit will ride you. Okay, let me close. My time is up. These are the four instructions. Very difficult. We don't like following. Okay? I will end with the first instruction God gave man. One, we don't like sitting down. If God says sit down, try with a child. Do you know one of the most difficult instructions that children usually sit down there? Sit down there. Naughty corner. Sit down there. Naughty step. Sit down. Even as adults, we struggle to sit down. I came to this country. I shared the story. God says, sit down for 6 months. 7th month, I'll start showing you what to do with your missionary assignment in this country. I came. Only my wife and a three-year-old toddler and be doing Bible study and fellowship every Sunday. Anointed man of God. Big church from Nigeria. Sit down and be preaching to my wife that I've not seen for 1 year. We came here as missionaries, men. Where is that church where they need to hear the word of God and revelation? God says, sit down. Listen, when the distribution of the fish and loaves, they only distributed to those who were sat down. Go and read it. Luke chapter 6. Because per adventure, some of the men, when they found out that there were 5 loaves, 2 fishes, 1 small boy's lunch, they just stood up and, look, this Jesus, if he wants to kill us, you can follow him. We are going to the next village because there was food in the next village. Some of them will have taken off. Impatience. But Jesus said, tell the men to sit down. Sit down in 50s. Sit down in 100s. Multiples. Those who were sat down, do you know another person who sat down? Her name was called Mary. Martha was serving. Mary sat. She got everything from Jesus. Please tell somebody, sit down. Just sit down. I disobeyed for the first 7 months. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Incomplete instruction, disobedience. Incomplete obedience, disobedience. Is there any way in my life I've not received full instruction? I've just run. I just had go and I went. I just had married that person. That's always a favorite one. Please, whoever you want to marry, please sit down and know them first. Please. Don't rush. No. God said we must marry. We must marry next week. Please don't invite me for the wedding. Don't. I'm serious. Please go and marry. If God told you to marry next week, it's God that told you, you will give account to God. Okay, God told me to marry. Please get to sit down first with the person you want to marry. Sorry, guys, it's too late. You've learned to sit down now, haven't you? Give me 5 minutes. Is he sitting? I can see he's sitting down in front of you. We are sitting down now. I learned to sit here. Here, I'm sitting. Must listen to her. First instruction, we struggle to sit down. Second, be still. Psalm 46 verse 10. Be still and know. And stop shaking. Stop fretting. God is in control. Hand it over to him. Cast all your cares upon him. He cares for you. I'm being signaled to, I've got to round up now. Third instruction we struggle with. Don't talk. No. I must talk. Did you hear what they're saying about me? When I disobeyed God for 7 months, I know I saw fire, I saw brimstone, I saw attack. And then I was being attacked left, right, and center. My line, my name spread abroad. People never knew me, heard about me. That a demon was sent to Liverpool, scattering the churches there. I'm telling you the truth. He wasn't in, he had it even far from outside the city. My fame spread because of disobedience, bro. Do you know why I like you? Because the church where you were before, you were the executive director of music. But you came here, you sat down. You didn't say, no, Pastor, I'm the leader where I come from. Tell Sapphire to go and sit down. There's a new sheriff in town. I watched you. You know what I told you when you first came and you were, if you mess up here, I've got big boys here, I will beat you. Deal with you, mate. It may sound comical, but he knows what I'm talking about. Do you know? Will you mess up? Do you promise to look after Esther? To love and to hold her in sickness and death till death do us part? The king is watching you. The king happens to be the father of Esther, for those who don't know. Sir, is he performing, sir?
Okay, we'll see after. You can tell us what to. Yeah, he is. Please clap for him. Clap for him. Finally, keep quiet. Keep quiet. It's one thing not to talk. Please come. Who's this? Who's taking over from you? Grab your microphone. Whoever is taking over from you, come. Please let us rise up. Keep quiet. It's one thing not to talk, but you are still murmuring inside. If you are going to pull down the walls of Jericho, you walk around first day, second day, third day, instruction, don't talk. Don't say anything. Hold your peace and God will fight for you. Exodus 14:14. Sir, over to you. Let's rise up on our feet, please. Thank you for listening. I don't know. The Spirit of God lead you to pray. Let's pray. Let's pray.
Let's thank the Lord for the word we have heard. For many of us, we received direct instructions. For some of us, indirect instructions. But whichever way it is, let's ask the Lord for help. That the Spirit of His word will enter into our hearts. If our hearts are not right, let's ask the Lord to help us so that our hearts will be good grounds to receive the word we've heard today. There's some funny things that have been said, but at the end of the day, it's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." Let's pray that the Spirit of the Lord, through His word, will enter into us. Cause us to walk in what the Lord has said. There's power in the word of God. There's power in God's instruction. Lord, I pray for myself and I pray for everyone here that your word will enter into us and cause us to do the things that you have said. For those of us that need to sit down, we will sit down. For those of us that need to keep quiet, we will keep quiet. For those of us that need to be still, we will be still. For those of us that need to listen, we will listen. For those of us that need to submit, we will submit. For those of us that need healing, to be healed. Lord, I pray, and let us pray for Pastor, that as virtue has gone out of him, the Lord will fill him afresh with His Holy Spirit. He'll be the first partaker of the word. Let's not forget, many times God uses us as a channel, and the instruction could even come through our own mouths, but we also need to obey. So let's pray for Pastor, let's pray for Mamura, that they'll not just be hearers and speakers of the word, but they'll be doers as well. Help us today, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with all your goodness. Cause us to hear the voice of your word. As you say, this is the way, walk in it. And we will not turn to the left, neither will we turn to the right, but we will do exactly what the word of God has said to us. In Jesus' name.